Have your Bibles tonight. I invite you to open them with me to the book of Jude, which, of course, is the book that precedes the book of Revelation. In your Bibles, we've been looking on Sunday nights mainly at this little book that Jude has written, of course, under inspiration of God, and how that he is warned, of course, concerning apostasy that would come in the last days concerning the church. And tonight we find that not only does he show his, as we might say, that he gives his warning concerning this, but tonight we're going to see that even though Jude has some sterling words of rebuke toward these apostates, we know tonight that Jude's desire, as should be our desire, is to see that all men are saved, and even those who are the enemies of Christ will become the friends of Christ, and how that we're to love the souls of humanity. We do not appreciate and love their doctrine, of their words that they teach are false. We do not appreciate that. We do not love that. But we do love their souls. Amen. And Jude tonight, as he writes these closing passages, shows that tonight. He says in verse 21 that keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And then he says in verse 22, and of some have compassion, making a difference. Others say with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted, or hating even the garment spotted of the flesh. You know, as I thought, and as I thought about the messages as we've looked in the book of Jude, and as we come to this message tonight, I remember the words of my uncle's prayer that seemingly, as we were buried last year, that oftentimes it was such a joy to hear him pray. But I always would remember the last words of his prayer that he made the statement, Lord, save the soul that's closest to hell. You know, I thought about that soul desire that we want to see men saved. There were over 100,000 people left this walk of life today. And of course, there's only two ways to lead this walk of life, in Christ or outside of Christ. And certainly it is a terrible, terrible condition to lead this walk of life outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. Life that's wasted here, but a life that will be suffering endlessly in eternity. And our desire tonight is, as God's people, should be the desire that men be saved, that we have that love and desire in our lives. And tonight we're going to talk about the courage that it takes to talk to lost people, or courage under fire. And as we look tonight, he makes the statement that we're to have compassion on those that are lost. In the book of 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7, as Paul speaks to Timothy, he said that God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of sound mind, of compassion, and as we look, courage concerning our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, in life today, it takes courage in so many things, doesn't it? It takes courage today to live. I think about parents today. It takes courage to be a parent in the day that we live today. It takes courage to be a soldier in our armed forces today because of so many things that are out there today that you don't go to join the armed services for a vacation. But because of the unrest across the earth today in the world, it takes very much courage to be a soldier in our army. It takes courage tonight to live and serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And it takes courage tonight to speak on behalf of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Someone has said, and it is so true, a faith that's worth having is worth sharing. And the last words that our Lord said to the church before he ascended to heaven was sharing our faith. Look in the book of Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. Jesus, as he was about to ascend from the Mount of Olives, left these words to his church, his disciples, how that they would be endued from power from on high. They should be witnesses unto him, how that in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and of the uttermost part of the earth. Simply witnesses concerning sharing his love, sharing his work that he has did for mankind. And as we look tonight and as we think about this warning people concerning a danger that's headed for them if they leave this walk of life without Christ, sharing words of the gospel to those that are lost. Tonight we're going to note three things that Jude says concerning about that sharing this gospel. We should care for those that are lost. We should share God's Word for those that are lost. And then there are those that we should beware of, those that are lost in their condition. First of all, look back at verse 22 of the text that we've read tonight. He said, "And some have compassion, making a distinction." Literally, that's read, having compassion on those who are doubting. Those who are really not on either side, you might say. Those who are seemingly in the middle, neither for Christianity, nor not agnostics, and not atheists concerning God and the Christian faith. You know, in every community, I guess, we have people that we look out and they have not gone into the depths of sin. They have not followed the depravity of sin. Yet the simple fact is, they're lost, they're not saved. And as we look and think about people of that consideration, I thought about as I studied this. You know, a person that is lost is lost. A person is not half lost. He's simply lost. Ask ourselves the question tonight. How far does a person have to go in the forest to be considered lost? Well, we know that's just impossible because if they're lost, they're lost. And you know, the Bible says there's no part way of being saved. I mean, tonight, folk, we're either alive or we're dead. Now, we say, Brother Danny, that's kindly being kindly too, as you might say, critical or dogmatic tonight. Yet the Bible teaches us this, that if we're not saved, that we're lost. Look in the book of John chapter 3 and find verse 17. The great verse that we look about is verse 16 concerning God's love for the world. But the Bible says in verse 17, "He that believeth on Him is not condemned. But he that believeth not on Him is condemned already, for he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." So the Bible says if there's a person in unbelief, whether their lives have gone in the depths of the depravity of sin, or maybe their lives haven't been led into the greatness of the depravity of sin, that person that we might say today, they're a good moral person, yet that person without Jesus is lost. He's dead in trespasses and in sin. I have never met a half-dead person. Have you? Of course not. We're either alive or dead. And so tonight, we find that there are people that are in this life. They're not really sold on the church. And as you might say, you might ask them truthfully, "Do you believe in God?" And they would probably tell you, "Well, I believe there is a God, but have not accepted Him as their personal Savior." As we look tonight, Jude says, let's care for them. Let's show kindness toward them. Look in the book of Matthew chapter 9 and verse 36. In sharing Christ, we must have compassion. We must have love. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 9, verse 36, when He saw the multitudes, He was moved with compassion because they were scattered as sheep, having no shepherd. Now, as we look in the life of our Lord was accused many times of being a friend of those that were sinners. And His critics used that as really something to throw at our Lord. But in reality, they were complimenting our Lord. He was a friend of sinners. He loved their souls. The Lord saw beneath the clothing. The Lord saw beneath the position in life that they held. He saw an eternal soul. And He saw an eternal soul of where that soul ultimately would be without Him. Moved with compassion. We tonight, I tonight, have to, in our sharing Christ, have to have care for others and for their souls. You know, tonight, you think about it. someone cared for you to introduce you to Jesus. God used someone to introduce Jesus to us. Whether that someone was a preacher of the gospel, whether that someone was a Sunday school teacher, someone was a Christian friend or parent, someone introduced us to Jesus. And they cared enough to introduce us to the Lord Jesus Christ. Look in the book of John chapter 1. And you'll find people introducing people to the Lord Jesus Christ. I think as you turn in the book of John chapter 1, we find the Bible says in verse, 41. Or 40. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He findeth first his own brother Simon and said unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. Here we find Andrew introduces Jesus to Peter. We know that Peter, on the day of Pentecost, preached the gospel, and God added at least 3,000 souls to the church that day. Now you think about it. 3,000 souls under the preaching of Peter. But here standing behind Peter was his brother by the name of Andrew. Andrew had an influence on Peter's life. And then we find on down in that text, the Bible says in verse 43, the day following Jesus goeth forth into Galilee and findeth Philip and saith unto him, follow me. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. And Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Here we find Philip introducing Jesus to Nathanael. So what do we see here? We see simply people sharing Jesus with others. Why? Simply because they cared. The inward Spirit of God shed abroad in us by the Holy Spirit, that love of God showed forth in the lives of these individuals. I think about the Ethiopian eunuch. God took Philip and God introduced the Ethiopian eunuch to Jesus by Philip. In the great Dr. Billy Graham's, as we might find his life, it was Mordecai Ham, the gospel preacher, that introduced him to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we can go on and on in the chain of the involvement of sharing Jesus. And you know, tonight, when Jesus told the church, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel, He was telling the church, introduce me, share me with others in our life. And what a privilege it is to share Jesus, to introduce Jesus Christ to other people in our lives. He said we're to show compassion. He said we're to show compassion even to the point of weeping for those that are lost. Look in your Bibles tonight to the book of Psalm 126, verses 5 and 6. Jesus wept, I believe, over those that were lost. And we find the psalmist says in the verse Psalm 126, 5 and 6, behold, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth weeping, bearing precious seed, shall come again doubtless, rejoicing with his sheaves with him. My, that we become so caring, we become so burdened in our hearts over those that are lost, that we're able to shed tears, tears of the burden of our heart for those people. I think it was the prophet Jeremiah that said in Jeremiah 9, Oh, that my head were waters and my eyes fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people. I think of it was Paul that said in Acts chapter 20, remember by the space of 3 years that I wept for you. And tonight, folk, I go back in my life. How many times have I laid? How many times have I wet my pillow over the souls that were lost? One of the missing marks, and I have to say, oh me, one of the missing marks in our churches today is caring for the souls of those that are lost. You say, well, Brother Danny, I've got it made. I'm going to heaven. Who I care goes with me. That is not the attitude of a child of God. The attitude of a child of God is we want to see everyone go with us tonight. That's our desire. I know tonight, folk, that all men are not going to be saved. That's God's business.
We talked a little bit this morning in Sunday school about secret things belong to God. The souls that God saves belongs to God. We're just to share the gospel. And as we come in contact with those that are lost, we're to share the gospel of those individuals. You know, it's kind of amazing. You can ring up conversations with people about Jesus, isn't it? Isn't it amazing? Went to the doctor's office Friday. Hadn't met that doctor in just an instant. We were talking about the Lord. We were talking about church things. Went to get a hotel room. And it's just amazing. As we came and registered in, we were talking about the Lord and those things. I mean, folks, it's just amazing sometimes how the doors open and how your thoughts are on the Lord. And I come into contact and you come into contact and rub shoulders with people every day. And the Bible says that we're instruments to introduce people to the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the opposite of caring, the opposite of a compassionate Christian is an apathetic Christian who really doesn't care, who really doesn't care if individuals are saved or not. The Bible says in the book of Revelation 3, verse 2, that the church at Ephesus had left their first love. The Bible says in Matthew 24, 12, that one of the marks of the last days, because iniquity will abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Look at the statistics concerning Protestant churches from 1980 and so forth. It says the decline in these churches, the Episcopal Church has declined 79%, Lutheran Church has declined 70%, Presbyterian Church has declined 70%, United Church of Christ has declined 68%, United Methodist Church has declined 46%, Baptists as well as all are declining and falling away. What's it show? It shows apathy, the care and the compassion that we even have for others about us are just becoming cold and indifferent. I heard the story of a pastor. He was having problems with the invitation. It seemed as he gave the invitation, as he would ask the people to stand to give the invitation, many of his church members were getting up and leaving. And he said the problem was they were wanting to get out and beat the traffic where that they could go to their restaurant. Now, folk, I want to tell you something. That's something serious, amen? That we can't even wait and we can't even pray while God is giving and extending the invitation to man that we can't think and pray and be more respective to that in our lives. That's a problem. Apathy in many today. You say, well, the deacons are to care, the Sunday school teachers to care, the preachers to care, but every Christian in sharing the gospel is to care for those that are lost tonight. Caring in our hearts. Love. Folk, you listen. I wouldn't want my enemy to die in their sins and go to a devil's hell. Would you? I wouldn't want the one that I was standing, there's Brother Bradley back there, and he's standing and defending our country. But I want to tell you something. Those who stand on the opposite side of the fence, those of our enemies, as far as them dying in their sins and going to hell, we wouldn't want that in our lives. Amen? Because why? Because of the souls of mankind. And I've got to remember, Jesus died and gave His life for the very souls of mankind tonight. And I don't care tonight whether they be red, black, white, Muslim, Baptist, whatever they are. They've got a soul and need to be saved. And Paul looks at these apostates. Or Jude looks at these apostates. And the errors they're teaching burned in his blood. But he said, listen, we have compassion on those that are without Christ. And then he says something else. He says in that next statement, but others saved with fear, pulling them out of the fire. Literally, save others, snatching them out of the fire. We're to share with confessed sinners. What is he looking at? He's looking at the danger of the sinner's plight. What is their danger without Christ? An eternity in a devil's hell. I realize tonight that hell is becoming a quiet and unpopular subject in the pulpits of our churches tonight. But I've got to remind myself tonight, and we've got to remind ourselves as Christians and as a church, that our Lord Jesus Christ spoke and taught on a place called hell. Look in your scriptures tonight to Matthew 13 and verse 41 and 42. These are not my words. These are the words of our Savior, the most loving person that ever walked this earth, the Lord Jesus Christ. And He said in verse 41, the Son of Man will send out His angels. They'll gather out of His kingdom all things that offend, those who practice lawlessness, and will cast them into the furnace of fire, where there be wailing and gnashing of teeth. A furnace of fire, where there'll be nailing and gnashing of teeth. The Bible says in Matthew 25, the words of our Savior in verse 41, then He will also say to those on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. In verse 46, these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous unto eternal life. We speak and we proclaim a literal heaven. And just as there's a literal heaven, there is a literal place of punishment where the wrath of God is going to be poured out upon ungodliness and upon the sinner that rejects Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Turn in your Bibles, and Brother Dale shared this with us this morning in our adult men's class. Turn to Revelation chapter 20. And I want you to look at the verses in verses 11 and listen what the Bible says. The Bible says in verse 11, I saw a great white throne and Him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. The books were opened, another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. Sea gave up the dead which were in it. Death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. Death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. Folk, this is reality. I say tonight, you say, Brother Danny, there are degrees in hell. Ultimately, they are, or they will not be facing God at judgment. But I want to say to you tonight, hell is hell. And it's a miserable, horrible place. And tonight, folk, we look. And men are looking. Men are crying. Men are shedding tears of loneliness. Men are in that place. Darkness covers them. And the fires, which are little, overwhelm them. We look today. We can start a fire here on this earth. One thing, as we start a fire on this earth, fire will consume. I had a neighbor Friday night. He has a shed out there. And sadly, evidently fire got out. It consumed his shed. It consumed the little house behind his little shed. And fire consumed it. But here the Bible talks about a fire. It doesn't consume. What does it do? It constantly burns day in, day out. It is not consumed. There is no relief. How sad. How sad it is. You say, Brother Danny, that's just getting us doctrinally. But if we speak it doctrinally, we need to have love and compassion over that person that rejects Christ. Can you imagine as you introduce Jesus to a person? And I know that it's God that saves them totally by His grace. He does the work entirely of God. But God allows you to introduce Jesus to that person. And that person, through the work of God, receives Christ. Can you imagine the life that is saved here in this earth, the book of James? But can you imagine what is saved in eternity? My, what pain you have saved, or God has saved them from, and you have introduced that individual to the Lord Jesus Christ. My, look in your Bibles, the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, and find verse 19. Listen what he says in that chapter concerning sharing Christ. What is our hope, our joy, our crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ? It is coming, at His coming. Can you imagine going to heaven? And can you imagine meeting the person that shared Jesus or introduced Jesus to you? Can you imagine what joy will fill your hearts as you embrace them? And my, listen, thanking them for introducing you to the Lord Jesus Christ. I heard a preacher in Jackson, Mississippi. He was preaching about Christ. He was an evangelist. Several years later, there was a lady approached him and said, "Sir, I want to thank you for preaching Jesus, telling me about Jesus." And the preacher looked at her and said, "Would you go to Jesus and tell Him what you have told me?" My, listen, a crown of rejoicing. My, we're introducing people to Jesus, and what benefit it is that God saves a life, saves that soul from an awful eternity in hell. But oh, the joy it is and we experience as we meet those who we possibly have influence toward the Lord Jesus Christ in glory. We shall shine as the brightness is in heaven in glory, Daniel tells us. The greatest thing we can do in life is not be President of the United States. The greatest thing we can do in life is share Jesus and introduce Jesus to people in this world. The great father of the Methodist Church, Wesley, made the statement. He said, "If I had 5 men, I wouldn't spend the first 5 years of them in seminary. I'd want them to spend the first 5 years introducing people to Jesus Christ." My, what was he saying? The greatest thing we can do in life as a saved person, as part of a church, is sharing what God hath done for us. I just can't, and reminded tonight, remember that man of Gadara in Mark. Remember when Jesus had cleansed him and cast out the devils. Remember when he wanted to go with Jesus on that missionary campaign of Jesus? Remember what Jesus told him? Go home. Tell your friends what great things God hath done for thee. And I'll tell you what, multitudes turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. All today, sharing Christ. I believe tonight if there was a person in a burning automobile, if there was a person in a burning building, every one of us would cry as loud as we could. Every one of us would do everything we could to get that individual out from that danger in their lives. But so it is in their spiritual life too. Then last of all, he says this, "Some having mercy with fear, hating even the garment polluted by the flesh." Beware of those confirmed sinners. Beware of people that not only are unbelief, but living a life of ungodly behavior. He says, beware. Why? That we don't let them discourage us and distort our testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, using an illustration tonight, turn to Leviticus chapter 13. In the Old Testament times, and even the times of the Lord, we find the terrible disease of leprosy. And as we find it, God gave the children of Israel instructions concerning this terrible disease because it was contagious. It was contagious for them. He said in verse 52 of Leviticus 13, "He shall therefore burn that garment in which is the plague, whether warp or woof, in wool or in linen. Anything of leather, for it is an active leprosy, it shall be burned in the fire." Sin is active, isn't it? Very active. Now, what is he saying? That we don't compromise to let them steal our witness. Look at what God told the Israelites when they went into the promised land. They met these other people. What did he say? Separate yourselves. That was not that they weren't to love, because they were God's witness. In the Old Testament, Israel was the church in the Old Testament, sharing the gospel, the Word of God. He said, listen, you share that gospel, but don't you compromise and to the point that you become like them in your lives. He is saying to us, we're not to compromise the gospel and the standard of the gospel, and in doing so, let them
squeeze us in becoming like them. Illustration again. Dr. Vance Havner said this, "You don't have to dress up like a clown to go to a circus and witness for the Lord Jesus Christ." That's so true. We can be Christians, and being Christians, live like Christians in the world. Someone says, when you're in Rome, do what the Romans do. That might be good in Rome, but that's not what the Lord told His church. The Lord told His church that we're to be different, and we're to be different in our behavior. Be Christ-like, and let our Christ-like witness win those to the Lord Jesus Christ. My tonight, care for those that are lost. Share Jesus Christ. But beware that we don't let them pull us into their evil ways in our lives. A testimony is still marked in our lives. A man's word is his word, and it means something today. Amen. That's a good testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. What we live is a testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, Brother Danny, that just won't work. Yes, it does. Caring works. Sharing works in our lives. In God's due time, God gives the fruit of that labor. You know, Gypsy Smith was a great evangelist. He told many great stories. One of the great stories he told is something we use in revival. How that revival is simply drawing a circle, putting ourselves in that circle, and then asking God to revive all that's in the circle. That statement came from an old revivalist preacher, Gypsy Smith. But he also tells a story, and you probably heard it before, of a man by the name of Peter Apples. Peter Apples was in the army. They were engaged in battle. And as they went and were embarking the enemy, fires were being shot both sides. And they were marching, and the commander gave the order for Peter Apples' group to retreat. But one thing, he didn't hear the order. He kept marching forward in the bullets and the fire. And it says that happened that he stumbled into a ditch. And not only as he stumbled in that ditch, lined up was the enemy. And he took the butt of his rifle and he knocked one in the head, took him by the collar, drug him back through the firing of the bullets. From both sides they were amazed at the courage of that man. And when Peter Apples got back into camp, stood before his commanding officer looked in amazement and he said, "Where did you get this one?" And he said, "Over there in the ditch, y'all could have had one if you'd have kept going." Now, that's my problem a lot of time in life. I'm often looked and I become critical at others and say, "Well, you're using ungodly programs and things to get people to Jesus." But still, the Lord wants us to share Jesus. Amen. To share His love daily consistent in our lives. And to care for people and to love them. It's easy in the flesh to get down and out on people. It really is. We see so much today. Just this past week, I've had 2 weeks, I've had a thief to embark me and steal and come back and steal for more. And I'll be honest with you. If I'd have met that man in the heat of him doing that, I'd have hated to have been there because I believe I'd got my rifle and shot him. That's just how disturbed I got. I hated his deeds. But I've got to love his soul. Amen. That God would deliver from such in people's lives. Again, we're all here tonight because someone cared enough to introduce Jesus to us. They introduced him to us. And God took that witness and God did a work of salvation. We never know. We never know in our daily lives. A simple encouragement, a simple phone call, but just a simple daily life, how that it leads others to the Lord Jesus Christ. Just like that man that sat on his porch, saw a man walk every Sunday past his porch. Didn't know where he was going. So one day he decided he'd follow him. And he followed him, and he came to a church. Heard singing, he went in. Heard preaching. And Lord, beholding, saved him. The members asked him, "What led you to our place? Our beautiful building? No. Our wondrous choir and singing? No. Our wonderful preacher? No. What led you to our place?" "That man that walked each Sunday past my porch." Remember this morning in worship the words that Moses said in Exodus 25 and 6. "It will bring upon your generations either a blessing or a curse." When we're honoring God, He will bless it. And it will pass from generation unto generation in our lives. Ask you to stand tonight. Father, I thank you for this church. I thank you for her witness in this community, for those and her caring love that she shed for one another, Lord, for those that are without. Lord, may we continually uphold and lift people up in our prayers that are unsaved, having love and compassion for their souls. Lord, that we do not stand for their deeds. Lord, we remember once we were there in the same condition, on the same road. But Lord, through your mercy and your grace, you brought someone to introduce us to Jesus, preaching the gospel message and a work in our lives that you did. But Lord, now that love that you placed in our hearts, may we share it in our lives, caring for those about us. Father, now, make a greater burden on my heart for those that are lost. Make me aware more of those that are around me, that I come in contact with. Lord, help me be more aware of their spiritual needs in my life. If there be those here tonight that's not saved, you know each heart. Those things belong to you. Lord, tonight I pray that if there's one that's never trusted you as their Savior, that through your work of the Holy Spirit, your word, they'd surrender their heart to you tonight. For we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.